My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Good Tuesday afternoon, September 17th, 2024. We're Grant and Danny taking you all the way up to 6:30. Austin Eckler is on the show today at 5 for his weekly appointment. We've also got tickets we're giving away at HF Festival right at 4 o'clock ahead of the Beltway Blitz. Danny, how are you?
I am very well, my friend. We're head on a swivel here on a Tuesday. The things are happening. Clock mismanagement or endgame shenanigans last night, a fourth quarter comeback, the football weekend put to rest. The Nats got walked off in extra innings, but things are happening, my friend.
You didn't mention that the Washington Commanders woke up this morning in first place in the NFC East.
Yeah.
It's early. Two games in, about 11% of the season down. But the locals are 1-1. So are the Eagles and the Cowboys. And because of a division game and a division win, Philly and Dallas have not yet played a division matchup. The Commanders at 1-1 with the tiebreaker, your first-place team in the NFC East.
People were very into that. Taking great pride in that, or I don't know how much was shtick, how much is real. It's like one of those things where, you know, those like Instagram people that some of you guys follow, where I don't know what the joke is, whether you're laughing at the person or you're laughing with them or neither, but everyone insists that it's fine, so then the snowball keeps rolling. That's what kind of this bit was, where first place commit, no one thinks they're gonna be in first place. They're not a first place team.
They are right now, though.
Right now, this minute, they are.
Why not enjoy it? If it's a marathon run in the Olympics, and you're probably the ninth best runner in a 10-runner field, and you know that, but you get out of the gates and a couple hundred yards in,
you're leading the first lap or something,
you're in first place, they still put your name up at the top of the graphic. Nobody's suggesting they're going to win the division.
Some are.
Let the people have their fun,
I suppose.
Let the people enjoy themselves for a September day.
I just can't tell the difference, is my point. That's why I brought up the dumb Instagram accounts that people insist are either funny or not funny. I'm not even sure what we're insisting. But it's like that. I don't know what the bit is. If it's, haha, isn't this funny? They're not really that good, but they're in first place. Yes, they are. Isn't that neat? But if it's a C kind of a thing that we're validating certain beliefs or something, I don't know. Again, I don't get it.
They've played two games.
Yeah.
They had one game that was a toss-up type game that they could or should win. Now, they could have beaten the Bucs, I guess, but it would have been a pretty big surprise. Jaden Daniels' debut, Todd Bowles led defense, playoff team from a year ago, returning a lot of starters. That was always unlikely. But I think realistically, you could have hoped that they'd be 1-1 through two, which they are.
Mm-hmm.
What I don't think everyone banked on was the Cowboys losing to the Browns the way that they did this past week. Or excuse me, the youth losing to the Saints, rather,
yep,
the way that they did this past week. And in the division, the Eagles getting stunned by the Falcons last night. So I think people are just, they're happy. They're a little surprised that Washington, by way of that tiebreaker, is in first place. Nobody's declaring anything. Nobody's suggesting they're going to win the division. I think it's okay to be happy for a day. Now, if you want to go around and block everyone who says, the Commanders are 1-1, I told you they'd win the division and they'll never relinquish their lead, I think that's
within your rights. I'll be busy for the next couple hours if that was my plan.
Let's talk Monday Night Football. Week 2 came to an end last night by way of a tremendous game. both the Falcons and the Eagles were able to run the ball pretty effectively throughout the night. I thought Jalen Hurts in a losing effort was terrific. Only threw for a buck 83, but he was ultra efficient. Only 7 incompletions. Saquon Barkley's just a difference maker for the Eagles. He ran for 95 yards. He had 21 yards receiving, but he should have had more. On a 3rd-and-3 to put the game away, he dropped a pass in the flat, which gave the Falcons an opportunity down 6 to go march the length of the field. And Kirk Cousins, for the 29th time in his career, orchestrated a game-winning drive. And for the 23rd time in his career, a fourth-quarter comeback, 5 completions, 70-plus yards on the road, and the Falcons got a stunning win.
Cousins looks right, has a man, touchdown, Drake London.
I don't know what this means in the big picture for Atlanta, because they've still got some flaws, and watching Cousins, he's still not quite right. He had good numbers last night. He ended up throwing for 240 and a couple of touchdowns on 20 of 29 passing. Had a big finish to the game, was automatic in the second half, and they ran the ball beautifully. Bijan Robinson and Tyler Allgeier ran for a combined 150 yards. But they play the Chiefs, the Bucks, the Saints in the next 3 weeks. They're 1-1. There are two teams in their division. They're already 2-0. I know they needed that game.
Yeah.
I don't know that I'm buying stock in them right now. Cousins is still a long ways from being all the way back. But you could tell as the game went on last night, he started to trust his leg a little bit more, and he started to just play a little more free and easy.
Yeah, 100%. The growth within game, just in terms of comfort level, was obvious, right? He wasn't driving the ball in anything that's kind of deep or towards the sideline. Just didn't look like himself, doesn't look comfortable. I still don't think he's physically right. But what a bizarre game. I mean, we'll talk about the second half and kind of the way that the things ended. Of course, the Philadelphia is just botching of everything. But both offensive lines in the first half were just destroying their opponent. Both offensive lines, Philadelphia and Atlanta, dominant, pushing people around, just mauling folks. Bijan Robinson, you already alluded to, could do whatever he wanted. Saquon Barkley going 8-9 yards a pop. Jalen Hurts was scrambling or designed runs or whatever. They were killing people. And again, 0-0 deep into the second quarter. Then only one field goal, a 7-6 halftime score when both offenses ostensibly were really good. Just a weird situation. Philadelphia kicking themselves, I'm sure, because they missed opportunities. I guess Atlanta missed a couple too as well. But allowing them to kind of linger around, multiple different things could have gone multiple different ways for Philadelphia down the stretch to lose that game or to just, you know, win that game if you just behave normally. I don't know what they're doing on that last possession. I don't know what they're doing when they had the football. Golly, Atlanta needed that one desperately just because, as you said, what's coming up is tough.
Yeah, don't forget about the Eagles losing 5 of 6 down the stretch last year and then getting blown out by the Bucs 32-9 in the playoffs. Going into the offseason, they fired both coordinators. Remember, we didn't know 72 hours after the season if Nick Sirianni was going to be kept or not. He was still meeting with the owner of the team, Jeffrey Lurie, at that point, and there were still questions as to if he would keep his job. So he entered the year in a pretty warm seat. They were lucky to beat the Packers because Hurts threw 2 bad interceptions. It was a really strange game internationally where neither team played well and the Eagles emerged with a win. They could easily be 0-2 right now with a disaster of a loss, yep. Just a catastrophic, terrible loss last night in an utter collapse. This was Nick Sirianni post-game. He and several of his players having to answer some tough questions after a game got away.
We wanted to. They were running a certain defense and it, junking it up in the middle. So we're trying to go on around the outside, and it didn't work.
What was your thought pattern there on going kicking the field goal 4th and 3? Did you think about going for it?
Again, in that scenario, I was thinking they might not have any timeouts there, but obviously they did with the incomplete pass. That would have came down to maybe a minute. And so we wanted to go up 6 points, and it didn't work. So, the decision to pass it there, again, like I said, you know, where they were junking it up inside, with it being 4th and 3 to go for it, I thought, with them not having any timeouts, I wanted them to be down a touchdown. And
I don't know where you're at on the 3rd and 3 pass that Barkley dropped. I have no problem with that call. And in fact, it was wide open. Like, mm-hmm. Let's say it wasn't wide open and they played it well and there was no one to throw to and Hurts had to throw it out of bounds or something. You could kill them more. But even then, I would say the idea was pretty good. When the idea is good and everything's executed beautifully and all Saquon Barkley has to do is catch a ball that he will catch the next 99 times it's thrown to him out of 100, I'm not going to blame the coach for that. Where I blame him is when they didn't get that. I would have gone on 4th and 3, because the Falcons, in terrible field position inside their own 15 at that point, would have had to go to the length of the field to go get a field goal, sans timeouts, let's say, potentially. Had you have run that 4th down play and gone and gotten it, you would have won anyway. If you don't get it, they still got a lot of work to do. That's the gripe I have with him, was the 4th down decision, not throwing it on 3rd.
So, yeah, I mean, obviously it didn't work, so because of the drop you mentioned by Barkley. The thing is, though, if you don't do that, let's just say you do this. 2 tush pushes. You use the full allotment of clock. You force Atlanta to use whatever timeouts they had left. I think they had 1 at that point, right? And they got an extra because of the incomplete pass. Then you've really got them at a disadvantage. And you're probably going to get the 1st down, and then you kneel down the game.
Yeah, and if you don't, they have no timeouts as they take over to go the length of the field.
So that, to me, was the best course of action. Now, you dialed something up that worked. So everyone killing him for that, I think, it's a little bit silly. It's aggressive, it's creative, and as you said, Saquon Barkley's so good, him dropping that pass is not something you'd count on. You run that 100 more times, he catches it 100 times. That was the 101st time. So obviously it didn't work there, but to me, the easy thing would have actually just been the thing to do. They can't stop the tush push. They still can't. No one can do it. So do it twice, even though it was 4 and 3, or 4th and 3, or 3rd and 3, rather. Is you run more plays with the football instead of sheer possibility of the clock stopping. To me, I would have rather just forced them into the most difficult possible position, which that didn't do.
Huge upset for the Falcons over the Eagles in Philly. NFL underdogs of 5.5 or more points. These are the biggest underdogs of the early season, and the 10 biggest spreads are 9-1 at covering, and they are 5-5 straight up in those games. It's just a sign that we really don't know anything yet. Predicting these games is borderline impossible in the early part of the season without a preseason especially. We don't know enough. This week alone, the Raiders knocked off the Ravens as 8.5-point underdogs. They didn't cover. They beat them outright on the road in Baltimore cross country. By the way, second time in 2 football weeks now, Danny, where the biggest underdog has won the game outright, because the Bengals lost to the Patriots in week 1. The Bucs, who thought they were going to beat Detroit? The Saints dominated Dallas. They were 6.5-point dogs. The Falcons, we've been talking about. The Vikings knocked off San Francisco. The Cardinals were favorites, even though it was kind of a smelly line. And they destroyed the Rams. Just surprise after surprise in week 2. What a unbelievable week in the NFL.
Yeah, so this week to me was even more surprising than week 1. And here's why. They ambush you with it. We show a little bit of data. Like a little something happens. Like we go, oh, I get it. Carolina's terrible. The Saints aren't really for real. They're a couple points shy of tying the record for scoring through 2 games because they beat Dallas by 1,000,000 points, who just beat the crap out of Cleveland by 1,000,000 points. How would you ever have figured that? Not that the Saints couldn't possibly win the game, you know, they win by a field goal or close, you know, an NFL type game, not a, you know, I don't know, Alabama versus some 1AA team, the way it looked. 1,000,000 results like that over the course of this weekend where you go, okay, I think I know more about this team based on week 1, and maybe we know even less. Absolute chaos. Awesome.
We break down every single NFL game at 3 o'clock on Tuesdays in our fastest 16 minutes. So make sure you're listening, coming up in about 45 minutes for that on Grant and Danny. Did you have any issue with Dave Canales 2 games into his tenure in Carolina benching Bryce Young?
Yes.
Really?
Here's why, though. Not necessarily the decision. It's not. I said this yesterday on the show. It's a disaster. He's not competitive. It's like I in general default to, you play the kid when you're not going to be any good. You play the kid. This is maybe that rare exception where, again, it's like a major league pitcher who's Ann Keeling, who can't throw strikes, and you just can't have a game. You can't continue. You can't do anything. Here's why, though. He didn't play in the preseason. Everything is brand new for Bryce Young, right? New coach, new coordinator, new quarterback coach, new system, new scheme, new design, new everything, dysfunctional organization. I think he played 1 series in the preseason. To me, he was brought in ostensibly to like help fix the guy. And now it's over?
That's always the perception. I remember this with Jay Gruden when he benched Griffin. People thought, you were hired to fix him. No, you're hired to win football games. We don't know what's said from an owner to a coach. The perception with Jay was that Dan Snyder told him, you're coming here and your task is to fix Robert Griffin. But unless that's voiced or you're told that by David Tepper, you know what's also important is not lose 50 other guys in the locker room. And if everyone knows, someone can't do it. And it's it's not bad. It's like,
oh, it's a disaster.
Gross,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I don't have an issue at all, because you are risking potentially losing the locker room in your first ever month as a head coach if you continue to play a guy that everybody knows can't do it right now. And there's a difference to me, and I think this is what we have to drill home. There is a difference to me between he's not playing well and whatever Bryce Young is doing, where it is a disqualifying performance, where there are receivers open. Like, I'll give you an example. Their offensive line, their pass blocking, ranked fifth via PFF this past week in the entire NFL. They only allowed four pressures on 29 dropbacks. Their receivers graded out very well. So the point is, their opponent isn't getting pressure, the Chargers, and guys are running open, and they still can't get any first downs and move the football. So at some point, if enough guys knock on your door and go, Coach,
come on.
What are we doing here, bro?
Right.
You got to do something. We're talking about a 55% completion percentage, 122 yards per game, no touchdowns, three picks through two games. And if last year was a little bit different or more encouraging, he obviously wouldn't have been benched after two bad games with a light preseason workload, to your point. But last year, you know, 18 games, the team went 2-16 overall, 59% completed in his career with a 71 rating and more picks than touchdowns. Week 1, 13 for 30 passing. Week 2, 84 yards on 26 passes. I think Canales in some way has to make sure that it's not over before it starts for him, especially with a wild card of an owner.
Totally. And to me, that's where the problem really lies, is they're a disaster. They are the meddling, temperamental little, naked tyrant who no one can tell that anything is wrong to, ruining everything. The culture stinks. The poor kid's got no chance. So I'm not advocating for Bryce Young here. He's not good, and it's bad. I think I could have told you that. But where we will always disagree is, you don't hire the guy who saved Geno Smith's career, who then gave Baker Mayfield his renaissance, because he's not good at working with quarterbacks. You have a first-round quarterback that you traded everything to go up and get. Ostensibly, it's implied, whether it's not, it's publicly written down and taped to the wall. Try to get something out of this guy.
Oh, no. So don't mishear me. I wouldn't suggest and don't think for a second that one of his main jobs is not to get the most out of Bryce Young. I don't necessarily think continuing to play him right now while he's broken and inept is the best path forward.
Totally fair.
Benching him, letting him watch, and saying, dude, your footwork is terrible. You're incompetent at seeing the field. We've got to go back to the drawing board and start over with you. Doing that while he's not playing can actually be helpful. The one time Andy Dalton started last year, let's not forget, when this offense was dreadful under a different regime, Andy Dalton went out and threw for 360 yards and two touchdowns. So it tells me this is not a universal, everybody's awful problem. This was Canales with the media when announcing that he had benched Bryce Young yesterday.
I owe it to all of the guys, the coaches, the staff, the players, everybody involved, to be really critical about what we put on film, about what I'm seeing, and to make sure that I'm constantly making the best decision for the team every week. And it happens to be the quarterback position. And so it's loaded that way, but it's every position, and it's all the guys. And I was able to stand in front of the team and challenge all the guys that we all have to step up our passion for what we're doing to play with the play style that we're looking for.
I don't think this is a pulling the goalie because you're waking up the roster because they're screwing him over. There might be a little bit of that where guys play better now this week and get a little bit of a dead cat bounce with Dalton coming in. But here's where I'll agree with you. If Bryce Young's still on the bench in 10 weeks, let's say, on this bad team that's going nowhere, and Dalton is playing out the second half of the string of the season, and Bryce Young's watching him and just losses, that would be ridiculous. My guess is this is a unplug your computer, let it sit for 15 seconds, plug it back in and see if that fixes the problem. I think you give him a month, maybe 6-7 weeks tops, and then he gets the second half of the year to see where he's made some progress.
So I want to be clear. My only issue isn't right now, this minute, is, yeah, he's not any good, we have to bench him. My issue is, what did we do the entire offseason when he only played one snap in the preseason or one series in the preseason and stuff? Like, he needed work before now.
Totally.
And it's, you guys messed this up 100%.
You'll never get me to say everybody shouldn't be playing more in the preseason. I've screamed about this for a long time. I think we're seeing results in terms of production, injuries. The less seriously teams are taking August, the worse the September product is becoming in a lot of ways.
And Young is a disaster. I mean, it just is. As I said, it's that one out of 100 cases where I go, you should always be playing the kids. The caveat is this. I mean, it literally has gotten to the point where I don't have another phrase for it. It's non-competitive. Like, it's not even, oh, we don't have a chance to win. You're going to lose anyhow with Andy Dalton. You maybe win one or two more games, so what? It's now to the point where we can't get out of the huddle. We're barely getting snaps together at this point. It's so bad.
It's Tuesday on Grant and Danny, which means Jeff Probst style, it's a Survivor Tuesday on G&D. You can go to Facebook.com/Grant and Danny to participate. Facebook.com/Grant and Danny. You're voting somebody immune. Brian Robinson won immunity last week, so even though he could win it again, he's not allowed to. And Emmanuel Forbes went home last week. You're going to boot somebody off the island. Go vote right now. We'll update the voting as the day goes on. Austin Eckler's on the show today in about 2.5 hours at 5 on G&D. Next, we want to hear from people who went to the Fed to see the game on Sunday as the Commanders beat the Giants. Did you notice any differences in fan experience? Did you enjoy yourself at the stadium? And what did you observe as having been changed? We'll open up the phones at 800-636-1067 for you on that next, right here on The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first 3 grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I was joking last night. I'm on Twitter at Grant H. Paulson. Danny's at Funny Danny. After Jason Kelce hung out in the broadcast booth on Monday Night Football with Joe Buck and Troy Aikman for what felt like the entire second half. Which Bengal should be on the call with Buck and Aikman as the Commanders take them on next week in
Cincy?
That's
a good bet.
Can we not? We have a Manning cast for that, don't we? And by the way, the Manning cast is tremendous. I watched a little bit of that last night. Getting Belichick is cool. I don't know if you guys have seen the video circulating of Peyton, Eli, and Matt Ryan, so just a couple former MVPs, and Eli Manning, talking about quarterbacking and offense down the stretch last night as Cousins was leading the final drive. It's a really cool broadcast. But I know I'm asking for a lot, and I'm a little bit of a jerk. Can I just have my play-by-play game be my play-by-play game? And if you're going to do the Jason Kelce thing, Josh Harris style, where he's in there for a possession and it's 4 minutes of TV, and we get an awkward handshake, and we go three-man booth shot. Okay. It went forever. And he's sitting there cheering. At one point, he's like, sorry, guys, I might cheer. And Joe Buck's like, you do whatever you want, Hall of Famer. Well, don't worry about Grant at home trying to enjoy the broadcast. What are we doing?
Well, here's when I have an issue. It's when it gets in the way of the actual broadcast. And here's what I mean. There's a moment where I think it was Saquon Barkley, maybe it was somebody else, I can't remember, gets piled up short of the goal line, and he goes, Jason Kelce blurts out, he's in! Not in. Not correct. Right. Wrong. Erroneous. You have now ruined my broadcast. Shut up. I know you're Hall of Famer. You got the new, Summer Heights High podcast, whatever you do, I don't care. It's not relevant to me. But now there's a professional broadcast going on. You declared he's in like you're some fat Mama Luke sitting at home incorrectly. Shut your mouth forever. Never say anything. Then when called upon, you can participate. But your shtick is awesome. That was so embarrassing. He's in. Not in. Not in at all. And as the replay starts, he goes, yeah, it's right there. Not right there either.
Right.
Wrong. Shut up. Shut up.
That was hilarious. Because not only in real time did he get it wrong, he's like, as we're watching the replay, he's like, he gets in here on this initial leap.
So there it is.
Nope. Obviously, he did not. And then he's like, oh. Maybe he didn't.
Maybe,
no kidding.
Perhaps he didn't.
But you've already been yelling at me about this.
Perhaps he didn't.
It was just enough. And it doesn't sound like it. I actually do like Jason Kelce. It was just over Jason Kelce last night. I get it. He played for the Eagles in the games in Philly. I was over inundated with him. And Buck, a couple of times in his way that he does, made jokes about how much Jason Kelce we were getting. But then I don't even think it was planned. Like, they kept saying at the end, he's like, oh, well, maybe I'll go down and hang out with my wife. And they're like, stay here with us. And he's like, cool, I see my wife enough. And they just kept doing that shtick, and we'll do another drive. Equal time? Where's Roddy White when I need him? I mean, does anyone care that there's two teams in this game? The E and ESPN stood for Eagles pretty clearly during that broadcast on the Jason Kelce show last evening. But I digress. My question to you, Danny, is, do you want Rudy Johnson or John Kitna in the booth for the Commanders-Bengals game?
Rudy Johnson's a great pull. Poor Rudy Johnson looked like he had a five head. Like, that helmet was always on so tight, like it extend his forehead. He was nasty for a couple years.
Sneaky great fantasy player for a few years.
He's like pick seven in like multiple straight fantasy years.
There's always, I'd say, a good chunk of people that don't understand humor. So I tweeted some names to be funny, picking random Bengals last night, obviously. I got some good suggestions as well. TJ Houshmandzadeh on the broadcast, or somebody said, what about, what was my favorite one? Kajana Carter. I thought that was funny. Mm-hmm. But then a couple people were like, wouldn't it just be Boomer Esiason since he's a broadcaster? No.
Yeah, it probably would.
It wouldn't be. Guy, you're missing the point. John Kitna and Giovanni Bernard are randoms. We're playing random Bengal game right now. Do you want to participate or don't you?
Yeah, like if you'd like to play, you say Icky Woods, and then you high five.
Right.
All right? If you don't, that's fine.
We will get into Monday Night Football, Washington and Cincinnati, later in the show. By the way, we won't have to worry about the broadcast.
Mm-mm.
Because we'll be in the stadium. Danny Ruye.
Yep.
Monday night, when they start playing that theme, as the players take the field for pregame warmups, where are you going to be sitting?
I actually don't know where our seats are, but I'll be in Cincinnati, assuming that's where the stadium is.
In Cincinnati at a sports bar?
No. In a stadium. Whatever it's called. New sponsorship stadium in Cincinnati.
Paycor Stadium, Paul Brown Stadium. You're going to be at a football game.
I am.
I will be too. Darius, where are you going to be on Monday night for Monday Night Football?
There will be a seat with my name on it in Paycor Stadium in Cincinnati.
So if John Kitna's on the call, doesn't mean anything to us.
We'll can't bother me.
Some chili in our bellies watching football from Cincinnati, Ohio. Thanks to our friends, Kondori and Murrah. If you missed the big announcement yesterday, they are sending us on the road. We're going to Monday Night Football. We'll be kicking it with them all weekend. So if you're going to the game, please let us know. Speaking of being at games, who was at the X on Sunday for Commanders Giants? I want to know if you noticed anything different about the stadium. 800-636-1067. Here's what I got for you, Danny.
Mm-hmm.
I'd already been to a preseason game, so I had seen a lot of the changes at the stadium. I'd taken a big tour. What's very noticeable for me walking from where I park to where I sit, new floors almost everywhere, new paint on most walls, new carpets on a lot of floors, and new cool designs and paint jobs and things to decorate and spruce the place up. Like, mm-hmm. a lot of that controllable, let's throw some money and then some elbow grease on some things and see where it gets us. But I'm just curious, as a fan, did you get in more efficiently? Was the food warmer? Did it taste better? Like, what did you guys experience as they continue to spend a lot of money?
On the TV copy, I would say it looked better. Everything about it. Like, obviously, people were in seats at kickoff, which is a rarity around these parts. In terms of fans, people were engaged. They seemed excited. The general noise level seemed to be pretty solid. Felt like folks were having a good time.
I also think that the audio in stadium was way better in terms of the PA. I'd be curious to hear from people on that because, Darius, you were at the game, so maybe you could answer this too. Any seat that you have is going to be a little different than everybody else's vantage point. But my experience now, having been there for a concert at the end of the summer, and having been there for two football games, is that they have largely fixed whatever issues they were having with a lot of the old speakers, which they've replaced so many of, and a lot of the old stuff. Like the PA, it's a four-yard gain bringing up second and six for Philadelphia. Like, that sounds way better. What was your experience like? You were in the crowd, Darius.
Yeah, I agree. The PA definitely was some of the cleanest of the audio situation that we had. There was the halftime performance there from Wale that I didn't think the audio was all that clear. I was down behind the Giants bench in the second third row behind the Giants bench. Not that that's a flex or anything. And
it's a little bit of a flex.
And I don't know. The music audio didn't come through very clear to me. The music itself, but not the lyrics.
I wonder if that's like a concert thing.
Yeah,
I mean, how did the stuff that football related through the microphones sound?
That's all that mattered to me, and all that sounded good.
That was a big complaint last year, so that's something I'm actually really curious about. Let's go to Will in Stafford on G&D. Hey, Will.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet.
My buddies and I got season tickets in 132 in the end zone, about 15 rows up from the goalpost, and the audio was great. I could finally hear the referees clearly. That was a big thing last year. You could never hear the refs call. Audio was excellent. Taking out the end zone bar and opening that area in the end zone cuts down on traffic a little bit down there. Getting in the stadium, the scanners are updated, so going through scanning and everything, it was a much smoother transition. And,
did they use the new technology where you entered in terms of scanning your ticket, or was it the same as last year in terms of how you got in?
No, I used new technology on my app. Just pulled it up, scans in. They got new coolers. You walk up there with your gold. If you're a gold member, you just put it on there. You get 50% off food and non-alcoholic drink. You just grab it out of the cooler. You're good to go.
So those speed shops, so to speak, thanks for the call, they're everywhere. This is not something they created, but they added a ton of them. That should have been there, as far as I'm concerned, like 5 years ago.
Yeah, I mean, you see, if you know it, at Capital One, it's almost like a there's like a small fence or like a little railing with an entrance, and you walk in, grab your Miller Lite and walk out, and that's it.
Grab and go.
Yeah.
I've done that at Fred Nat's games for a few years. The idea that wasn't ubiquitous everywhere in that stadium just to get people there, you could do food. You could do quick food fare there, like grab and go, chicken tenders, fries, whatever, but it's also, it's beer, it's soda, it's water, it's chips. That to me is a no-brainer, I would say. Are you comfortable with how some people can now get into stadiums? I've done this over at Nat's Park, where it's almost like signing up for Clear at an airport or something, but you just walk up through your MLB ballpark app and almost like your phone opening with your face. You don't have to take your phone out of your pocket. You walk up, there's a little camera.
It knows you.
You stand in front of it, it sees your face, and it goes, Danny, you and your three guests can walk in.
Welcome, yeah.
You cool with that, or are you gonna stay away from that for a little while?
Well, I mean, I'm fine with whatever. What I need is for the thing that's supposed to be faster to actually be faster. And I find a lot of times where it's like, all you have to do is download the app with the updated app, and then app, as long as you're able to log in, and with the, even if the login's not working, log in here and show it this way with the QR code. Now it's not faster. Everybody's waiting for people fiddling with their phone. So sometimes it's faster. Sometimes you actually just have a ticket and you could scan it much quicker.
I think that parking to that point was more arduous for me this week than it normally is. A lot of weeks in the past, they have not actually scanned the parking.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm sure some people will just get a screen grab and, you know, park illegally or whatever. They want to cut down on that. So they try to actually scan your QR code when you go in to park. But it took me longer to creep down. Getting to the boulevard to go into the stadium, Garrett mm-hmm. A. Morgan Boulevard, took no time at all. To creep down like the half mile into the parking lot took like 30 minutes. Basically, as long as it took me to get from almost like Lorton to that turn-in. And so overall, it took a little longer.
Tough.
But, I mean, I was there, you know, right around 11. I was still up in the press box and got to my seat by 11:45 or so. So it like wasn't the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'm closer to kickoff and it's 12:25 and I'm not parking till like 1:04 and I miss kick because of that, I'd have been a salty character.
I agree with you. Yeah, that's tough.
How'd you guys feel about game number one at the X? Some of the changes. What did you notice? What still needs some work? We'll take some calls on that at 800-636-1067. Plus, next, we want to tell you who Dan Quinn singled out as being the most impressive player on the Commanders' offense this past weekend. You're listening to G&D. G&D on the Fan. One of the other things I noticed at the X on Sunday, talking about some of the changes to the stadium, anything that was tangible to you guys, I thought the new tunnel club that they have for fans, you can spend as an add-on to your ticket to go down, open bar, basically restaurant, and then you kind of have the ability with these garage doors that open to interact with players as they go to and from the field. It looked really cool.
Well, the tours I saw that they gave to you guys,
yeah.
I was like, this is not a great space. This is not very well done. That's the best you could do with it.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I'm not joning. I'm saying you're left with these parameters where there's not much upside,
right.
And that's the best you could possibly go to construct it.
I think they did a really good job making a lot out of a little there, but they're just trying to modify that stadium.
Mm-hmm.
They worked with the NFL to figure out like what's popular with fans. What do fans want in these stadiums that are being built? What can we do here in the several years, unfortunately, before we get to the new place?
Yeah.
And one of the things they came up with is people like the access. They want to be, you know, getting selfies with and dapping up players. And so it's expensive. It's one of those things probably that your company's going to buy more so than you are. Or, you know, it's a once-a-year deal that you go in on a bachelor party or something. If you're doing pretty well, you don't have kids yet. But I will say it looked very, very cool. I thought they did a really, really good job with it. Dan Quinn, by the way, in asked who he singled out as the most impressive player on Washington's offense, said Zach Ertz. Really liked how he played. On defense, he said Frankie Louvu and Bobby Wagner, the team's leading tacklers. I want to get into those three guys and how they've been playing as new additions in free agency, but also talk about who's growing on us as this season goes along in just a bit on Grant and Danny. But let's hit the phones. Art is in D.C. You were at the game, Art. What'd you think of the stadium?
From a customer-centric stance, it was excellent. I thought it was excellent. I parked in gold, you know, no issues at all. Facilities great, friendly staff, everything good. One critique was just sticker shock, man. I just got my bill from the bank. You know, $20 for a beer, $25 for a mixed drink, food expensive, $130 to park. You know, I can afford it. I don't think a lot of people can, though, you know. And what one recommendation, guys, the baddest Indians were the Comanches. That would be a good name to go back to the old logo. But, you know, overall, very, very good. And and from the stance of in the stands, great feeling, great vibe, you know.
Yeah, it was packed.
Yeah.
I mean, it was sold out, and there were a lot of fans of the local team there, which has not always been the case. it sounds to me like, and this is a good thing, not a bad thing, it sounds like he did everything, you know, higher end too. Like, you can get parking for less than $130. You can probably get a drink, you know, for less than close to $30 for a cocktail or whatever, sodas or what have you. Having said that, there's no doubt that's going to be the case at every stadium, and this one is no different. And I thought the same thing even when I went on that tour. A couple times when I looked up at a price, I would go, are you kidding me?
You're like, yeah.
And I don't think I'm being, if you remember the movie Rookie of the Year, you probably don't have a file.
Which one's Rookie of the Year? Is that the one where
Henry Rowan Gardner?
Oh, so okay, so that's pitcher's got a big butt. The kid can throw it real fast.
Kid pitcher for
the
Cubs.
Which one is the one where the kid manages the Twins?
Little Big League.
Thank you.
That's a great film. They're both great
films. I conflate the titles, I will say, but I know the difference.
So many great baseball movies. The best peak era of baseball movies was my childhood, which was, for kids, I'm saying. Mm-hmm. The Sandlot, Little Big League, Rookie of the Year. We were on just a heater, bing, bang, boom. But anyway, there's a scene in that movie where the owner is going down for the first time to sit with the crowd, like down in the box seats, because they've hated him for years and now they're good, so they like him, so he's going to go sit with the crowd. And the hot dog vendor's coming through, and this will date the movie a little bit. But the hot dog guy says, hot dogs, hot dogs. And he's like, yeah, I'll take three hot dogs. And the guy's like, $12. And the owner looks over at him and goes, $4 for a hot dog? And my dad used to think it was the greatest scene in the world. Because like this owner who's charging
was shocked by it.
Was like shocked by the money. But it, I mean, it's super expensive. No doubt about that. Let's go to Danny in Woodbridge on G&D. What's up, Danny?
Hey, what's going on? Can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. So I've been a season ticket holder for about 3 years now. And this, I sit in the upper level, and the speakers were up there were terrible. And then this year, I could tell that they definitely upgraded those speakers because you can hear things clearly, more clearer. But the only complaint I have about the speakers on the upper level are they're like not in sync. And so you hear a lot of like echo from the other speaker. And so it's hard to hear. And this is also like not taking into consideration about like what was going on with the refs on the field. Like I didn't understand, like nobody around me kind of understood what was going around. But
yeah. So even for us, like in the press area, thanks for the call. At no point could we ever hear the ref's microphone. I don't know that it was working not as a stadium.
So
problem.
I think it was not actually not working optimally.
That's what
I'm saying. Even at home watching it, it was like, this is quieter than I'm used to. It usually sounds, once they hit that switch, it's all cylinders. They sound like they're in the room with you.
It was not that.
It wasn't, no.
Mike and Akakeek, you're on G&D. How was your game experience?
Hey, hey, what's up, Grant and Danny? This is my first time calling.
Oh, we appreciate that. Thank you very much, man.
Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray! Hip, hip, hooray!
Jim Zorn will greet you, sir.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. Yeah, I went with my son. We had a lot of fun. This is my first time buying season tickets, and everything was cool. I would say the food on the club level, I want them to upgrade that a little bit. But in terms of the other changes, they had a DJ on the club level. It was electric. Everybody was excited. It was a lot of fun.
Fun is a good word. Man. I mean, I would say that's a more positive segment than we normally get. The wind probably didn't hurt. We'll take the temperature from the fans who are going to games, not only throughout this show today, but as the season goes on as well, on Grant and Danny. Next, a Tuesday staple at 3 o'clock, right at the top of the hour, each and every week, our fastest 16 minutes. We'll go through every single NFL game, give you all the details you need on every single matchup in week two. You're listening to The Fan.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.